Hey, this is Rick Recht on Jewish Rock Radio. I am really excited and honored to be on the phone today with singer-songwriter Peter Himmelman. Peter is truly an all-around performer, TV and film composer, a pioneer and webcast star, and really so much more. Peter's actually so crazy talented in so many ways that it's almost comical trying to focus on a single thread of what has made him a cherished part of people's lives for so many years. But we're going to give it our best shot today on this JRR exclusive. Peter joined us today from Santa Monica, California. Peter, welcome to Jewish Rock Radio.
Thanks, Rick, and thank you for that wonderful introduction, and I'll have the check should clear by next week.
Awesome, very good. we'll be looking in our mailbox. We've got a lot to talk about today in a short time, so we'll jump right in. How about we talk about music first? One of the things I really love when I'm listening to your music, and I was actually talking to a friend this morning. We were taking a walk, and we were talking about your music together, and she was talking about like listening to your music with her college friends and all the memories. And the thing that really touches me is how honest and authentic and just gritty, real it is. So it's super cool that you've got new music to share with us today. You've got a new album. Can you tell us a little bit about the new album and about the process of recording this album and how it came about?
Yeah, I mean, these albums now, they used to be where, you know, people would make records, and if you had a record deal, that was source of your income, so you're motivated by that. You know, you had to feed your kids. And nowadays, people pretty much make records just for fun. There's some impetus. It's not readily explainable why people do them anymore, which is purifying in a sense. You know, if you're making records just to make money as a, quote, professional, there's something limiting or perhaps inhibiting about that. So this is kind of purifying in the sense that the same motivations that went on with me when I was 15 have recurred again at the age of 54. So a friend of mine named Sheldon Gomberg, who's a bass player and producer, he just calls me periodically and just says, you know, it's time to make a record. And he has a nice studio in California. And I said, maybe it is. And he said, you know, why don't you call Jim Keltner? You're friends with him. And Jim Keltner is a, you know, really renowned drummer that's played with like the Beatles and all sorts of people. And he says, I'll call Lee Sklar, who, you know, is regularly on the road with James Taylor, and he's played with all sorts of people, and see if they want to get together in a couple weeks. And I had a number of songs that I've been sort of writing over the course of a year or so. And I said, yeah, let's do that. And a couple weeks later, we're in the studio recording, and it's pretty much as complicated as it gets. It's a pretty simple process, really.
I love the way you reflect back to when you were 15 and thinking about how inspiration felt back then, and then to be able to do it with some of the greats, you know, in music. Those names, you know, jump right out. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, to play with those guys, you know, not only their history and the gravitas of their, you know, their track records and so on is so huge, but really part of what makes them great musicians, they're really great people. And part of being a musician is an acute ability to listen. It's about using your ears in a way that's probably more depthful than most people. And they do it in a deeper way than most musicians. So everything we did on the record, you know, for better or worse, was kind of tracked live. The forcing frame I use is that we have 2.5 days in the studio. It's kind of like it used to be back in the old days when people would make a record, which meant it was more like a photograph or a recording of an event rather than, you know, something built up over time, layer by layer, a record that could take, you know, a year to make, creating sort of an artificial moment or a moment idealized, one that never was. Mm-hmm. And both are valid ways of making a record. This was kind of like the Elvis Presley, throw up a mic and let's go. And the other way is, you know, Guns N' Roses take 3 years to make a record and just didn't have the time or inclination to do it that way.
That's really cool. It sounds like a power playground. Let's get in. Mm-hmm. Let's play. Let's play hard. We got 2 hours to play, and that's that.
One thing about that is sometimes if you know that you have all the time in the world, when you're tracking, you kind of know that everything can be fixed later. So you're not necessarily giving it your all. Usually when you track, as you know, you're probably tracking just to keep the drums and the bass, and the vocal becomes a guide track for them. But in this case, knowing that everything was going to be a keeper, it brought a different energy to the process.
That's really cool. Well, let's talk about one of the songs, The Boat That Carries Us, and parenthetically, Needs No Sail. I love it. A really beautiful song and amazing metaphor for faith in life and surrender and the idea that everything's going to be all right. Can you tell us a little bit about this one?
Yeah, I mean, in general, these songs, I sort of wrote a lot of them in transit, you know, on airplanes and trains and moving around a lot. And particularly when you're flying high, which is, it's sort of an unnatural place for a human being to be, perhaps. You know, you have, if you are attentive to it, a perspective that not only metaphorically, but in real time gives you a broad depth, a broad scope. And I think maybe I was on a plane, I don't know, I was visiting one of my kids going to school or something. And the whole thing, when songs come, they just come, you know. It has more about getting yourself somehow into a propitious conduit-like place than sort of over-intellectualizing or being academic about how it's going to assemble itself. Being in that rarefied open space, which could come as a result of pain or loss or sudden joy, sudden hope, sudden revelation. You know, the song just, it sounds so cliche, but, you know, I've discussed it with so many songwriters and we all share it. And, you know, I'm sure the same with scientists or authors or lovemakers. You know, the most auspicious way to get this stuff is to be gifted it, mm-hmm. To have it come to you as a gift. You know, and I do think of it as getting out of God's way so that you can be handed something. And obviously that's a rare moment. And I think this song for me was one of those.
When I heard this, I listened to this a few times actually today. And when I listened to it, I felt myself sort of, pleasantly paralyzed listening, just sort of, numbing out and feeling, through it it almost felt like an African American ritual to me in a sense.
In some ways, I mean, you know, I'm always trying to write like the gospel song of the century, or this is something I've been toying with for the last 20 years, trying to write an enduring sort of song of faith. And when I was a younger man, I would never have written anything like this because it was so ridiculously simple. I mean, it wouldn't have occurred to me to write a song with such a simple chord progression and with no bridge or any real chorus. There is a unbelievable, vulnerable, childlike simplicity to this thing, and fragility, which I do like. And Sheldon Gomberg, the producer that I mentioned, he was just insistent, yeah, you just get to the mic and just sing this. We don't want anybody else to play on this.
Totally. Well, I actually gasped right when I finished. I went, oh. So, all right, let's roll it. The Boat That Carries Us on Jewish Rock Radio, the official home of Jewish rock.
The boat that carries us needs no sail. The boat that carries us needs no sail. The spirit winds are released. It's steady on, we shall not cease. The boat that carries a sneeze, no say. Though the current's strong, it can't break our will. The current's strong, it can't break our will. Tossed about, we lose no hope. Held fast above by heaven's rope. Though the current's strong, it can't break our will. The sun beats down, it can't scorch our skin. Though the sun beats down, it can't scorch our skin. Ain't no need to be afraid. Faith alone provides our shade. Though the sun beats down, it can't scorch our skin. The northern star will surely guide us home. The northern star will surely guide us home. We set a course, it won't be long. Our hands are clean, our hearts are strong. The northern star will surely guide us home. The boat that carries us needs no sail. The boat that carries us needs no sail. An unseen hand moves us on. The darkest sky gives way to dawn. The boat that carries us needs no sail. See, the boat that carries us needs no say. The boat that carries us needs no say.
That's The Boat That Carries Us from Peter Himmelman. We are back on a JR exclusive talking with Peter today. One of the things that I think will be super interesting for our Jewish Rock Radio listeners is the story of your journey as a singer-songwriter and as an observant Jew. I'd love to know how being Jewish has informed your life and ultimately your music and the way you've pursued your career.
Yeah, well, where to start there? I think, you know, I grew up in Minneapolis. One of the things I had going for me was that I never really met anybody, you know, that I was aware of that kept Shabbos or, you know, kept any of the mitzvot. And I say it was an advantage because I wasn't then biased against it. To me, it was all something from a Shalom Aleichem story. And I idealized it in a certain way. And it lay somewhere untouched. I had all sorts of ideas that gelled in my mind or began to form nascent ideas about spirituality, that we had this energy within us, let's say, and our physical bodies were the container for that energy, and that this energy would live on after we died. And I had all these ideas. The last place I ever thought that would be a home for them was the synagogue that I grew up in. As a matter of fact, the movie A Serious Man by the Coen brothers, they literally filmed inside that shul where I was bar mitzvahed. But they didn't talk about any of this kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, I was one of the few like boys that went on after their bar mitzvah to this thing called confirmation, which is something I'm sure they borrowed from the Catholics. And I would ask, you know, the rabbi, you know, what about angels and what about Techiyat HaMetim, like rising of the dead? And he literally called my mom and said, you know, Peter, he's being disruptive. And, you know, where I could be disruptive, I'm not saying I was an angel myself, but I was not being disruptive at all. That's what was interesting stuff to me. My dad died when I was pretty young, about 23, and shortly after that point, you know, I moved to New York and I met some people, a guy named Simon Jacobson, who's a Chabad rabbi, and it wasn't like a formal class, but we started talking And it was at that point I started to realize that Judaism, rather than being something very novel, full of new ideas, was actually replete with ideas that I'd already had that just needed to have a context and a way to verbalize them. So for me, my sort of Jewish experience was very much like coming home, coming into a strategically organized version of these nascent ideas that I had somehow come up with on my own, if that makes any sense.
Wow, really cool. All right, let's continue with music. 33,000 feet. It sounds like in an airplane above the Midwest. I love the line where you say, I feel somehow complete at 500 miles an hour at 33,000 feet. This song offers a really interesting perspective and vivid imagery from literally 33,000 feet in a plane. I fly almost every week myself, and this really resonated with me when you're talking about looking around you. So I just wanted to hear a little more from you about this song, and I assume you were in an airplane when you were writing this.
Yeah, or maybe I had been recently or something, or maybe it was just about a character or some idea. There's one thing about being in an airplane. I mean, you're sort of trapped. I mean, you're taken away and all your control is taken away unless you're the pilot. So it's a place of, you know, submission in a certain way. Again, at that altitude, there is that metaphor of being above your life, above your situation, giving you a different perspective. So, and maybe it's the thin air inside the plane, but all those things contribute to oftentimes a reflective perspective. And I think the song is just like, well, one of the lyrics that I like in it, which preceded the one that you said, is just like, I don't remember exactly what I said.
I remember you were saying something about you're tired of explaining what you mean.
Yeah, I just can't explain it.
All right, 33,000 feet. Let's play it, and we'll let the listeners feel their own perspective from whatever sea level they happen to be at. This is 33,000 feet from Peter Himmelman on Jewish Rock Radio.
Has denied me improbable floating above the Midwest fields beneath specters of white, breathing engines alive and on fire, pretending to keep us in flight. I'm too tired to explain what I mean, too tired to speak of all the things that I've seen. Suffice it to say, I feel somehow complete at 500 miles an hour, 33,000 feet. Of figments of thought, like the pain of a dream undone. Information stored in the mind, like light in the globe of the sun. Leaving is painful and staying is too. Nothing is easy these days. I'm pushing forever to be born again, trying in infinite ways. I'm too tired to explain what I mean, too tired to speak of all the things that I've seen. Suffice it to say, I feel somehow complete at 500 miles an hour, 33,000 feet. 33,000 feet.
What an awesome song. That was 33,000 feet from Peter Himmelman on this Jewish Rock Radio exclusive. We're talking with Peter today. Peter, you've got this really cool webcast. You're writing music for television and writing songs and touring. You're doing a lot. And the most important thing, you've got a family, too, which is awesome. Can you tell us just a little bit about a week in the life of Peter Himmelman? I was trying to picture this. We all have our own crazy lives. And as I was just sort of looking through your websites, I was thinking, I wonder what his life looks like.
Well, it's a lot more prosaic than all the websites would have you imagine, Right now, my kids are all kind of away or at school or in various transitional places. So that's, it's the challenges, with my wife and myself. We're at a new station now. So a lot of it's trying to define that. And what does that mean, really? Not much practically, waking up in the morning and I get up, always make tea. I feed my tortoise, my dog. I take him for a walk. I'll make a couple phone calls on that walk. It's called the dog defecation phone hour, or 10 minutes, though I don't usually call it anything. Then I'll daven in the morning. Sometimes I'll go to shul. A lot of times I'll just do it on my own. And usually if it's a good day, there's a whole bunch of different exciting little things to do and different people to call, and it's not like a regular job. I visited this artist who was a pretty well-known artist in his 70s. His name is Peter Alexander, and I went to his studio 6 months ago, and he's got this really nice studio, and I said, "So what do you do all day?" And he asked me, "Well, what do you do all day?" And I had to think, what do I do all day? Like, I was watching a series of Joan Jett videos and making a couple of drawings, having lunch, taking a nap, reading a book, writing a song, calling my agent, fuddling around. He goes, "Yeah, that's exactly what I do. Same thing." It's a very strange way to live. I mean, you have to provide a structure for yourself usually, and it's not for everybody.
Well, as long as you got Joan Jett videos spinning during the day at some point. It sounds good to me. A walk, some breathing, a dog, whatever the dog does, some music. That sounds good. I'm in.
Yeah, it works out.
Let's talk about another song, Windshield Reflections from the Mystery and the Hum album. This is a super energetic and happy driving love song. It sounds like it's written in a car coming home. My favorite part is that line where you said, "Cantaloupe is so ripe for the picking, so sweet it can make you cry." I love that you got cantaloupe in a song and that it felt right. So where were you when you wrote this one?
I don't really remember. That's an older song. I just picked it out of the hat for this radio show today. I liked it. I don't remember where I was at. Again, it's another transit song. The cantaloupe line, I have a lot of food images in my songs, my kids have told me. But for me, since food is a big part of life, and the songs for me are very reflective of the minutia, the details. The smaller the detail, in some cases, the bigger the resonance of the song. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be big ideas. I believe that sometimes the big idea is best expressed without expression, best expressed through the sort of the mosaic of the little things that comprise life. And what can you say? Life is totally inexplicable, and and there it is, you know, the cantaloupe's ripe for the picking. So sweet it can make you cry. I mean, what more can you say?
No, well, you said it. It was good. All right, this is Windshield Reflections from the Mystery and the Hum album. Peter Himmelman on Jewish Rock Radio, the official home of Jewish rock.
It's rush hour, I'm driving through a sunshine, using all my horsepower just to make it back to you. It's been a long day, started out the wrong way. I sing you a song, baby, wanna make it back to you. The raspberry fields in bloom, beneath the cautious sky. So sweet it can make you cry. Will I tell you where I've been, girl? How I took it on the chin, girl. I love you thick and thin, girl. When I make it back to you, I've been in some tough places, seen myself some hard faces. God put me through my paces. Wanna make it back to you. Babies are fast asleep, and they're dreaming that their mama can fly. Bed sheets hanging in the late morning sun, won't be long until they're dry. Oh baby, been a long night, I put up a good fight. Driving home in the starlight, I wanna make it back to you. Preacher on the radio, sweet chariot, swinging low. One thing that I know for sure, I wanna make it back to you. Well, the geese are flying so high.
Okay, we're back here with Peter Himmelman on Jewish Rock Radio. Let's talk about the Greater Chicago Jewish Festival, Sunday, June 8th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. At St. Paul Wood in Morton Grove, Illinois. Peter, I know you're going to be headlining the festival. Tell us about your return to Chicago and what you're looking forward to there.
You know, I really love Chicago, and I know that people would say I love it even if they didn't, because they had to, but I really do. I really like that new Milt's restaurant, too. It makes Chicago dining a whole new experience. You know, I have a great small group of guys that I'm playing with at this gig. Matt Thompson, Scott Tipping on guitar, Chuck Lacey on drums. They're just really masterful musicians, and I don't play with them often enough. So this will be an opportunity to maybe break out some of the songs on the new album. And I understand there's like three different sets that I'm doing. And one of them is a kids set, I believe.
Cool.
Which should be fun because I have, you know, five kids albums. Right. Just something I've done through the years. And, you know, a lot of times I improvise a lot on stage, you know, sort of go with the moment. So I will have a plan. But it's very probable that at various times I'll you know, go off that plan.
Cool. Well, I wish I could be there. I know our DJ, Seth Williams from Jewish Rock Radio, will be there emceeing throughout the day on a lot of the stages, and I know it'll be an amazing show. Peter, thank you so much for spending this time with us on Jewish Rock Radio. This has been awesome getting to know you and know a little bit more about your music.
Thank you, Rick. You've been a great host. Thank you.
That does it for this JR exclusive with Peter Himmelman. We hope you've had an awesome time. I sure have. Don't miss Peter at the Greater Chicago Jewish Festival, Sunday, June 8th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make sure to say hi to JRR celebrity DJ Seth Williams, who will be on site emceeing at a couple of the stages. The festival is at St. Paul Wood in Morton Grove, Illinois. You can check out more information at www.jewishfestival.org. You're listening to Jewish Rock Radio, the official home of Jewish Rock.